Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. This is the place that nobody wants to have to call. Nobody wants to hear what we have to talk about. Then we're glad you're here. Joining me in this endeavor of dealing with the stuff that's really tough, Mylon Yurkovich and Mark Cameron. Hi, guys.
Hey, Steve. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Steve.
It's good to
hey,
be
Mylon.
With both of you guys.
Happy Radio Thursday.
Hey, thank you.
And in the area of unhappiness, let me talk to you about this. There are a lot of people, everybody's like, oh, I did this and I was young and all that. And man, their Christmases were horrific. Father was in jail or abusive, all this kind of stuff. And so they don't have traditions to pass down and all that. So let's talk for a minute. How do you create a different experience for your kids or even for yourself if the past was pretty tragically ugly? What do you say to that?
Well, I've not been great. I mentioned this on Monday about creating traditions, and if I had to go back and do it again, I would do it better here with my kids. But I think, we talked a little bit too on the Monday show about redeeming things, and I am, I talk with my kids about my mistakes. Mm-hmm. And about mm-hmm. things that I would have liked to have done better. And we've found that, having that time, having that family time to really kind of be open and honest about that. That's a tradition I like to do.
You know, Mark, that is so insightful because when you can be transparent and authentic with your kids and tell them where you've fallen short or where you've made mistakes, but also where mistakes were made with you. Or to Steve's point, if we've been traumatized, our parents made big mistakes to treat us that way, or their life was not handled well, and it had a negative impact on me. People who've been traumatized, Steve and Mark, they don't want to face the past. But what, Steve, you were talking about this, we were having a conversation some days ago about the need to grieve and the power of grieving to face the reality, because people want to ignore the past.
Mm. That's right.
And our business here at New Life and in our counseling centers is to basically acknowledge the power of the past, and in grieving it and being angry and then processing that and sharing it age appropriately with our children, we can then do what you're saying, Mark. What could we do that's new and different? Mm-hmm. And for many adults, they have to learn to do something that was never done with them.
That's
to
right.
To create a new, yep. wonderful mm-hmm. tradition. Well, but, hey, Steve, listen, you've said this, and I just want to repeat something you say all the time. Has to happen in community. Has to happen with people around us that can lift us up to a new level.
Never a negative to tell a church, I'm going to have Chinese food at my place. Call me. Here's the number. Come join me. Never negative to just decide to do something. We're going to do it this year. We did it 1 year, and we've never forgotten it, so we're going to do it this year. We buy these $2.99 blankets. We buy $10 gift cards at Walgreens, and then we write a note and put it together, and we go down the street, downtown, near the mission, and we hand them out to people that are homeless.
Wow.
I don't know what it does for them, but it sure does a lot for us.
Wow.
That can be done in many different forms, but my kids talk about it all
wow.
the time. not a lot of money there. You could do it for five, depending on how well off you are, five or 50 or one. You could just do it for one. That would be amazing for your kids to see that. We'll take a break. Come right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, 1-800-229-3000. Let's talk over here to Alex, Roanoke, Virginia. Alex, how are you today and how could we help you? Alex.
Hey, doing good. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's going on?
So I got a 5-year-old son, and recently he was acting out sexually with another child. So we're trying to figure out kind of what our next steps are as far as getting him the help he needs, and trying to track down like where this may have come from.
Where do you think it might have come from?
No idea, really. I assume he was exposed to something or possibly abused in some way. We don't have any super clear kind of direction of where it may have come from. So.
And was the person that he was acting out with, was this another family member, or what was that?
Family friend, a younger child than him.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start with you, Mark. What do you think is a good next step here?
Yeah, wow. I'm sorry to hear that, Alex. I am glad that you're taking it seriously and that you are looking for help here. There are sometimes that kids do act out certain behaviors, and again, you haven't shared specifics here that might concern us, but at times they can be just kid developmental stages. But I do think if you have a concern, if you have a worry, I definitely think that you should take your child in to be evaluated, maybe assessed, and reveal. Talk about some of the things that you've noticed him doing. I don't know if it's appropriate for you to share. Is there anything specific that you can share that that may have particularly concerned you?
Well, it was very sexually explicit acts that he was doing. That he only would have, you know, there's only could have been exposed to, you know, through pornography,
right,
or
you would
some
have
other
to seen,
you know, means. So. Yeah,
and so I would take a hard inventory too of where your child is going, what things he may be watching, who may be exposing him to certain things, and really kind of think through where that may have come from, and try and develop.
Where do you think he is most vulnerable? What location would that most likely have happened?
So he's pretty. We keep pretty close tabs on him. He's, you know, homeschooled, so really the only place he's really exposed to other people would be family members or church and stuff. There is some history on my wife's side with her dad that is concerning. Obviously, you know, I don't want to jump to conclusions. There's
sure.
No clear, no exact direction, but yeah.
Oh, that's rough. Mylon, your thoughts here.
Alex, is this your only child?
It's our second child, so I'm technically his stepfather. He was two when me and my wife got married, and then we have a child together as well.
Is your other child a boy or a girl?
A girl.
Okay, so You know, Steve and Mark have gone down the road of saying, okay, what might your child have been exposed to? And that's a very important thing to explore and keep tabs on. It is very common, Alex, for 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds to explore and to share and to show their genitalia to other kids at age. It is something that is often a part of the early childhood experience. And what we would do with our kids would be to say, you know, you are a boy, and that is a girl over there. And there's this natural curiosity that children have when they realize they're sexual beings, because God made them as sexual beings. There's this curiosity, and I'll show you mine if you show me yours, kind of a thing. So you're trying to figure out, where are we on this particular thing we observed? You know, what is this? Is this, you know, an observation? Or does this look like some overt thing that a child wouldn't have any idea? His behavior is not something that's just exploration. It was something that looked entirely different. But what we found very helpful is to talk to our kids about it and just say, what was that all about? What were you trying to do? He's 5 years old. He can give you a basic explanation of what he was doing. And, that's not appropriate. We don't do that with people. And sometimes, or where did you see that? To ask him directly, where did you see that? Or we saw you doing something that, you know, where did that get into your mind? Or were you just being silly? You know, we don't know. But to get the child talking about it and then to talk with them and process and just say, okay, God made you as a sexual being. You're going to have sexual feelings. You're going to have sexual impulses and sexual interests. It's an area of curiosity, but it is not appropriate for us to do what you just did with your friend or with the family member. So I would say a direct talk is really important, and just say, I'm sorry, that's unacceptable in our home. We just don't do that. So oftentimes that's enough, but I do think that what Steve and Mark were talking about of trying to look for other possible causes is always important. And for the rest of your son and daughter's lives, you have to be on high alert because there are perpetrators all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was just going to add to what Mylan said there. I think as you address it with him, to just keep in mind, it's important to try not to shame a kid.
Right.
Because he's, you know, at 5 years old, if he's seen something, he's just copying. He's just modeling he's seen.
Yeah.
Well, so shaming.
Go ahead.
Shaming a 5-year-old. For anything. I mean, whatever happens with a 5-year-old, shame is not ever the appropriate. You want to explore, be curious, find out. And like Mylan is saying, sometimes it is literally just an impulse thing that a 5-year-old does. Mm-hmm. But if it's repeated, you just need to do the research out of some healthy curiosity. I just hope and pray that something we've said is helpful here. Let me send you a 1-year Bible for men. I hope you'll like that.
Could we send them How We Love Our Kids?
Oh,
because there is a parent.
I was grasping at something.
I felt the grasp.
How We Love Our Kids.
Well, because there's a parent toolbox at the back end of that book that gives you a lot of questions to ask your children. Okay. And it takes you around the comfort circle, which is to learn to ask more questions. So we don't shame. We just said, now what happened back there? You know, tell me about it.
Mm-hmm. Coming your way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you understand the next step, Alex? I know I said about getting assessed, but I do think it's important to go visit a child psychologist or a psychotherapist that specializes in children and just talk about what happened.
Mm-hmm. Just a Christian counselor that is a licensed Christian counselor that specializes in kids. Great, great next step.
Well, and maybe just for Alex to go in by himself to ask some questions before you take the child in, because the child's all of a sudden is going to feel on the hot seat.
Yeah.
And maybe that's not necessary, but you can get the advice of a professional that's right there.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Ann. Ann is calling from Bellevue, Iowa. Sirius XM, channel 131. 1 p.m.?
Correct.
Eastern. All right. How you doing? What's going on in your life?
Well, I'm doing well. Kind of hard to follow that gentleman, and bless his heart.
Yeah.
I was actually calling. You were talking about family traditions, and at the last hour, there was you talked to someone about, you know, how to just keep Christ in Christmas. I guess I'll just say that, the old cliche.
Yeah.
But when my children were little, I did a bunch of stuff, but, you know, really emphasizing whose birthday it was, because I understood birthdays from a very young age.
Mm-hmm. So what did you do?
Well, the best thing we did that they're doing now with their kids are we started to hide our baby Jesus from our nativity set Christmas morning. We could not open presents until we found Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That's really a sweet idea.
Christmas morning. And so easy. And I got to tell you, by the time my kids, I have four of them, were in teenagers, we were hiding every baby Jesus nativity we had. And we at one point said, okay, it's been 2 hours. We want to open gifts now. I mean, it's a very, very fun, easy thing.
I love it.
To just take a moment and say, oh, I'm so excited too, but you know whose birthday it is? We got to find him first.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, just super simple, and it really focused them, and it just brings me great joy that now my grandchildren are doing this.
Well, I love it, and I just would encourage others to do that. And, of course, when Jesus is in the little nativity manger, he looks like he's 5 years old, but still, that it makes it easier to find. And what a great idea, and I
yes.
thank you for that, Anne. And let me send
You're
you
so
a
welcome.
One-year Bible for women that my wife did. Now, in 1961, the headlines in the Brian Daily Eagle, "The Savior Has Been Stolen." And we had my brother made a huge plywood nativity scene, and somebody came along and stole baby Jesus. And so there was like a running thing for 7 days of please bring back Jesus. And sadly, Jesus was found on the curb on the seventh day near our home. And I guess somebody finally felt guilty and wanted to give it back but not be caught. But anyway, it's a big, big deal. We had a very, very citywide hunt for baby Jesus. So I know how this tradition goes. But that's just a great example of thinking of something you could do that you've never done before that might result in everybody remembering it for the rest of their lives. So really love that. Thank you for calling us with that. All right, let's go to Kay. She's calling all the way from Douglasville, Georgia, listening on Sirius XM, channel 131 at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Kay, how are you, and how could we help today?
Hello, good to meet you. I'm just calling in because I've heard some information that you've given to other callers, and I was telling the representative that I called that, you know, I'm overweight, and I need to get some help, and don't know really where that lack of, you know, insight on my part is. I know what to do. I've, you know, battled it for most of my adult life. Have a lot of issues with, as I said, I'm obese, and I need morbidly obese. And I was trying to decide if I was going to try the emotional freedom or the lose it for life, or do I need both, all of the above, and just wanted to kind of reach out to you all.
Well, I'm glad that you called, and, you know, lose it for life is all about doing little things that you can do the rest of your life. And if you're in that morbidly obese category, how far overweight are you, would you say?
I'm well over 125 pounds overweight.
Okay. All right. So when we come back, you can hear the music. We'll talk to you about general weight loss, talk to you about morbid obesity there, see if we can give you some help. Because,
okay.
Man, there's nothing more life-giving than when somebody is able to live a normal life with 100 pounds less. I've kept 60 pounds off, but man, that's I think we can help you. So hold on. You're listening to New Life Live, and on January the 6th, that's the next Every Man's Battle. You sign up now for integrity for the rest of your life, not just 2023.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and I'm so glad that Kay's called us, because so many people struggle with an eating problem, and then when you get into this, as she said, and so few people will own up to that, the morbid obesity level, it's just something that needs help, and it's hard to get it. Mylon, let's start with you, and then Mark, we'll talk with you, and then I've got some comments to make here.
So, Kay, thank you for calling. I love your call because, like so many calls on this show, so many people are dealing with the very same thing. So thanks for being brave to call. And so what difficult thing did food cover up for you as a child growing up? Food comforted you. And what were you being comforted by? The food comforted, you know, from what? What hurt you?
You know, as a child, I was fine as far as my weight goes. It's when I left, you know, and as an adult and got married, you know, I was very small then, and I've been married 32 years, so I know that it goes back to the childhood of, my father was an alcoholic, so I'm pretty sure that's the big thing there. Very abusive, not physically abusive toward me, but my mother and I dealt with it, and as well as siblings. So I'm sure that's where the thing was, is that, you know, just the, you know, the chasms between the relationship of a father and not really having it.
You know, Kay, thank you for that story. I'm sad that happened to you. It is common for us to be betrayed and abandoned by our parents. And you see, food is an addiction just like alcohol can be an addiction. It's something to make the pain go away. It's something to medicate the discomfort. And sooner or later can catch up with us. And so one of the things that we really have to do is stop and take the time to not make my obesity the focus, but to stop and ask, what is the thing that's causing my obesity? And what is food medicating? And we learn to make uncomfortable feelings go away by distracting ourselves with something that tastes really good. And so I really want to encourage you that one of the most important places you could begin is with two things. One is a grief recovery group that would help you learn the process of grieving and facing that history that's driving this addiction. And number two, in addition to that, possibly a trained therapist that can help you with the trauma of what you went through as a child, somebody that's trained in trauma. And that's going to be really important to help you work through the wrestling internally with your history.
Mark, you have a thought?
Yeah, all of my thoughts are really along the same lines here, Kay, as Mylon has had. Because, I mean, I'm a psychotherapist. I'm not a dietitian. So I could refer you and say, you know, go visit a dietitian, go visit a nutritionist. But, you know, we all have something that we're wanting to lose here, right? Some of us, it's anger. Some of us, it's addiction. But I think, you know, Lose It for Life would be a great place to start. Emotional freedom would be a great place to start. But I think just doing some individual therapy, really kind of processing through your story, and just having someone trained and licensed to kind of help you, you wouldn't believe how someone might be able to look at your story and ask you certain questions and then be able to make links to different times that you may have used food in certain significant situations, and that somehow stuck in your brain, right, and is now influencing some of your behaviors in the present.
Hey, Mark,
a
quick question.
I'm sorry, Steve. Trauma is sticky in the brain. You said it sticks in the brain. Trauma is sticky. Could you expand on that just a touch, just to say how it gets lodged in there? Just a quick thing to help Kay understand.
Yeah,
it
yes.
just doesn't go away?
Sure, absolutely. And some of us are really unaware. One of my favorite quotes that I think has really kind of changed my life and I like to share with clients is by Carl Jung, who said, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life. And then you will call it fate. And oftentimes, until we look back, right, when we have these significant experiences, they stick in a certain part of the brain. Most of the time in a part of the brain called the amygdala. And it's kind of like having something, papers that are on top of the desk rather than filed away in the drawer or in the filing cabinet. They're just a lot easier to access. And so when your brain gets triggered to certain events, it goes quickly to the things that are right there on the top of the table. And again, oftentimes yeah. because, you know, we haven't brought these out into our consciousness, we're not aware of them. And so going to therapy and processing through is almost like being able to take the thing that's on top of the table, file it in the drawer so it's not the first thing that you're initially going to.
Very, very good. Kay, well, how do you spend your day?
So I'm very busy. I work full time, have a family, married for 32 years, so I get home, I'm busy. It's interesting that you say that about therapy. I was in therapy for a long time when
did
I first
anything,
got married because I knew if I...
Yeah, did anything come of that, therapy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was a great, you know, it wasn't toward weight loss, believe it or not. I was, you know, newly married, and, you know, so I probably did half of the work, and I was just, you know, there was anger, there was issues, and I know that came from the issues with my father, so I was in therapy then. Great, you know, great situation, but when I left therapy, I guess that's when I decided, oh, I'm done. I mean, you know, no bad circumstance or anything, but then the weight came on, so I guess I dealt with some things and then chose something else to deal with it other than the therapy, because
okay.
I think that's when the food.
Okay, good idea, good insight.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Kay, and I would love for her. In fact, I'm going to, I hope she'll go to Emotional Freedom, but I'll give you a little scholarship here, Kay, if you'll go to Lose It for Life. I want to ask you a question. Marriage, is that okay? Or deeply troubled?
Oh, no, we have a great, great marriage, you know. Everyone has, you know, occasional, you know,
yeah, sure.
arguments,
right.
things like that. But we're
okay.
Both Christians in church.
All right. And, okay, so,
family.
And then the work that you do a good job at that, is that right?
Oh, yes, more of a perfectionist than you would think. So that's
okay.
another, you know, yes, I've been at my... I've been in my current role. I'm in the medical field, and I've been since 20-plus years. So,
And you're good at it, successful, all that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you got all that going for you.
I know.
And then there's, this thing. And I'm just wondering, may not be able to answer this, but why don't you deserve all of that? Why are you undeserving of all these good things?
Good question.
Well, just off the top of your head, what would be, just try to come up with something off the top of your head. I'm undeserving of this because.
You know, I guess I look at it as it's my job to get everything else done, you know, take care of everybody else. And I guess my time has passed.
And I'm not worthy of being taken
care of.
Yeah. And you're not worthy of being taken care of. Well, no one took care of you. I mean, your mother, she was married to an alcoholic. She didn't have to be. She could have stopped that, right? She could have left.
That's a hard one.
Right.
Yeah, true.
So maybe in, down inside, you got the message that you weren't worthy of her making a huge sacrifice and divorcing a man that was horrific.
She eventually did. You know, it was just...
Eventually. How old were you when she eventually did?
About when it was finally over with. About 12, 13, that he was, you know, he was pretty adamant. You know, she did a lot. I was very close with my mother. She did a lot. Yeah. If it wasn't for her, probably wouldn't be here. So,
okay, so here's the thing.
But 12, 13.
So when someone is morbidly obese, great family, kids, successful, and work, you're sabotaging all of that by being overweight, right?
Right.
You're not eating to comfort yourself. You're eating to discomfort yourself. Because you're a very smart human being, and you would be able to say, wow, look at this. I do this in my work, and it produces that. I do this in with my family, it produces that. Oh, look, in my personal life, I'm eating a little too much here, and it's producing obesity. I'm just going to stop that, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to order these foods for my house. I'm going to start walking. But you're not doing that because I think something deep, deep down inside of you is saying, I don't deserve this. When you get to that, we call it lose it for life. I believe that's the it that you need to lose. Then you get your life back. And then these little things that we have you do to keep it off, that's when they come into play. But the deep work that you've avoided for 30 years, if you felt like you deserved a great life, God wanted you to have a great life, you'd have been in that therapist's office long, long time ago. Or you'd have either gone to Jesus Christ or Jenny Craig, GC, JC, one or the other. You would have found a path, but you're not, and it doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
So you have to find out, why am I doing this to me?
Okay.
And I'm going to help you with that. I want you to hold on. We need to get you with a counselor, and we need to get you some help, and I'll help you with a scholarship to lose it for life. I hope you'll join us also for emotional freedom. Some of you folks, if you heard this call, you're in the same situation. It doesn't make sense. You could decide to do a really hard thing. Deal with that daddy issue. Deal with the mommy you can't break free of. Deal with the bitterness and resentment that you're still holding. Or the idealization that won't go away. We'll help you with that. And 2023 could be the year of understanding and the year of beginning all over again. 1-800. New Life is the number. You just call it and we'll help you with what ever it is. All right, let's go to Jeff, Dallas, Texas. Hey, Jeff, how are you today?
Hey, great, thank you. I was listening to you the other day, but I think the call that I just heard also really dovetails into what I wanted to ask about. You mentioned the grief regarding the loss of a father and the individuals who don't grieve the loss of their fathers, and that there's other grief processes they need to go through. And one of the things that I think that we in the church do not do too well is that we looking at the cause, perhaps, of a father not being there or being removed. And I say this because in Texas, where we are, we've been trying to work to get legislation changed. Right now, the family courts often kick a father out of the life for the purpose of child support. The father can do nothing. I've got so many people that have spent thousands and thousands of dollars trying to be involved and have that special relationship with their children, and they're being called deadbeat and everything else. And too often, I think the church has actually adopted that cultural narrative. My question with regard to some of the things that we just even talked about is that if our children don't have a healthy relationship with their father, how are they going to learn to relate to God the Father? That's going to be a carryover. And I think the church has could actually do a lot to help alleviate or to help address this issue. But it's an issue that I don't think is acknowledged very much within the church, and it's not really talked about.
Okay.
And therefore, a lot of
I'm assuming that this has happened in your situation.
I've had some experience from this, but that's part of the reason that I'm seeking to change laws. But I'm just telling that this is happening all over, not just Texas, but throughout the states. We've traveled throughout the country talking to people about this.
Now, how does the church, I've never heard that the church falls into wanting a father to not be in somebody's life. So tell me about that.
Sure. Well, you know, the cultural narrative is that all these fathers are deadbeats. That's a default narrative. And the church has picked that up. And the church has talked about, well, you know, pay your child support, do this, do that. But the way that the laws are written and the way that it's imposed by our judicial system is that a person can pay and pay and pay, but not be allowed access to their children, not be allowed to be a father.
Okay, so I don't hear from the church messages that fathers are deadbeats. The churches that I associate with, they're encouraging fathers to do whatever it takes to be with your children. Don't settle for the typical Wednesday dinner and every other weekend thing. And so I'm really sorry that you've had to go through this, and I hope and pray that, you know, you find not just the political stuff that you're doing, that you succeed there, but I hope and pray that you find relief from just whatever it is that has caused that loss there. You know, It's sad when there's a father that wants to be part of his kids' lives and some kind of power struggle doesn't allow that to happen. Absolutely horrible. Mylon, Mark, you have a comment on this or anything related to dads and grieving?
Well, it is horrible when people are deprived of the option to be with their kids.
Yeah.
And sadly, there can be several things that can happen where you can lose opportunities to be with your kids, and it's really very, very sad. And I agree that we really need to work hard on understanding that the parents do need to be reconnected to their kids, even if they've had rehabilitation or they've undergone work to help them understand why they were separated in the first place. So, yeah, you're right. People need to be able to be with their kids. But a lot of fathers and mothers don't know how to be a father and a mother, and sometimes they're more destructive. But I get your point, and I appreciate you calling in.
We're going to take a break, come back for our final segment, and I'm really glad that you've been with us today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need help.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Oh my, we are back. And I just hope and pray, if you love what we love doing, we love hurting people. No, we love people that hurt is what I'm trying to say. Help us, if you can, here at Year End. Christmas is about giving, and if you give to us, I can tell you, I will tell you, that we'll do everything we can to make the most use of every single penny that you give. Let's go to Jane in Houston, Texas, also listening on Sirius XM, Channel 131 at noon on Jane's time, Central Time. Hi, Jane. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Excellent. What's going on in your personal life today?
Okay. So God has given me one of the most wonderful husbands I could have ever asked for.
Really?
And I apologize for crying. I love my husband beyond all measure. And we've been married for a little over 5 years and for 7 years. And 5 years ago, we were diagnosed as infertile. And we both have strong histories in the church. We both love the Lord more than we love each other, the way we're supposed to. And I do everything I can to support my husband. And the problem lies with both of us. It's not one of us, it's both. And so I'm also a social worker, so I can walk myself through the grief process. I can, and I certainly grieve differently than my husband. We've been praying for 5 years that God would give us a miracle, but the miracle is most likely going to be through adoption. We've prayed and God has led us to an agency, but I'm noticing that the 5 years I've had with grief is much different than my husband's. And he made a comment the other night that made it sound like he felt bad that he was a failure. So how can I best support him? I leave in notes. I tell him that I would never choose anyone else. But I'm so glad. God's greatest gift to me was my husband, and I tell him that all the time. I need to know what more to do to let him know that this is not a failure. This is God walking us down a different path to bring love where there may not be love for a child already. So please give me some kind of idea how I can love on him the way that I need to make him feel whole.
Well, I know this. When I was married to my previous wife, we went through 7 years of infertility. And then, after a woman told me we were going to have a baby, well, sure enough, we ended up adopting Madeline, who was born on Christmas Eve, 1990. Now, Madeline just went on a river cruise with us, New Life, and everybody there that commented to me about her said, this is one of the most wonderful people I've ever met. She has been a light in my life. She's been one of the greatest joys of my life. And even just yesterday, we're talking, and I can't tell you how much this child means to me. So whenever I hear things like this, I want to talk to your husband and say, look, God works in different ways. And God doesn't work in other ways. And one of the things that God doesn't do all the time is intervene and produce a child. And it opens the door to have a different child. And that's where adoption comes in. And I would encourage moving toward adoption, because when you have that child, you're not thinking about what you didn't have, you're thinking about what you have. And it's just amazing. I have other children that I am biologically attached to, but I am not any more emotionally or spiritually attached to those children than I am to my adopted child. So I don't know if it's healthy or not, Jane, but I'm just saying I think moving toward adoption could be a really great thing to boost your husband and the way he feels about himself. Mark, Mylon, what do you think?
Yeah, Jane, I'm so sorry. I hear the pain in your voice when you talk about this. And man, having a child is a good thing, and when you know you desperately want to and you can't, it's so painful. But I love your passion that you want to still be a parent, and like Steve is saying, you can still be a parent out there to somebody who doesn't have a parent. And so so I hear you saying that you're a social worker, so you understand grief and you've been walking mm-hmm. yourself through it. But your husband, he may not have the same training as you, right? And so it sounds like he's right. probably still stuck in sadness and depression. And you probably already know this, so I'll say this for others who might be going through something similar, right? We don't always go through the stages of grief together, even when we're both going through grief at the same time. So he's stuck in sadness, I think, here. And I would encourage you to go to a grief group. Or encourage him to go through a grief group and to see if he can meet with others who are maybe still in that same stage as he is in be able to get through together with them.
Milo?
Okay, Jane, we're really close to the end of our show, and I'm going to say something really important. You're trying to fix him with right brain interventions. Tell him how much you love him. You're trying to tell him all these good things, yada, yada, yada. I'm not dismissing that. But he said an emotion to you, I feel like a failure, and he's sad. What you need to learn to do is talk to his left brain, which isn't to fix with solutions. It's rather to empathize and go, honey, I'm so sorry you feel like a failure. Are there other times you felt like a failure? Where else do you feel like you've fallen short? And maybe he's only ever been successful, and this is the first time he's ever somehow fallen short. But this is called left brain to left brain connection, which is on an emotional basis, not trying to talk him out of it. You're trying to talk him out of how he feels. Don't do that. Talk to him about the emotion, how long it's been there, what else does he feel, what other emotions does he feel. And that is one of the most important things we can do with a person who is sad and in a state of grief or loss, is not to try and talk him out of it and fix it. It's rather to connect and empathize, and don't fix one single thing. Don't fix it.
All right. I'm so glad you called. I'm going to send both of you 1 year Bible for men, 1 year Bible for women. I'm going to send you 2 grief workbooks and 2 life recovery Bibles. We're going to just Bible you up here. And by the way, anybody that's interested, you can get a Bible also, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. When Club New Life members increase by 10, we send them Bible. If you need a Bible, if you need a present that's a great present, we've got them at New Life. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call. Hebrews 13:16 says, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Doing good and sharing what we have, it's sacrificial. And God is pleased with it. God is pleased when you give up your image and go to Every Man's Battle on January the 6th. God is pleased when you say, I have a bit of a problem emotionally, and you join us with Emotional Freedom, January 21. And God is pleased when you say, our marriage could be better, and you join us February 17th through the 19th. God's pleased when you say, I want to support all those people that are getting that help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Milan Yurkovich, Mark Cameron. I'd like to call you Kurt, but you are Mark. And all of you who listen, watch, pray, and support us, thank you. God bless
you.
Thanks
for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. Make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.